It's the word of God that has led these to go out to serve him. And it's the word of God that they take to the people that they go to. And now we've come that the word of God might influence, mold our lives, build us up. So let's read the text, Mark 9, 33 to 37. I'll read the first verse, and you read the portions that are bold and underlined. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing along the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone but be the first, he must be the last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whosoever receives not me, but him who sent me." Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we have listened to your words, and now we come to speak to you, asking you for your continued work in our hearts as we listen to the message that you've placed on our pastor's heart. We want to be folks that are just filled with your word, living by them, thinking your thoughts. Help us, God, to internalize your word today, this hour. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, friends, we are in a sermon series called Peace, Joy, and Justification, Receiving the Gifts of Christ. And sometimes gifts are things that we know we want, that we've longed for, and we're so glad when we finally get them. But then maybe you've had this experience where there was something in your life, you didn't know you wanted it, you didn't know it would be something beneficial in your life, you maybe didn't even know it existed, and yet when you actually received it, you found yourself going, "Oh, that's good." And going, "I've got to have more of that." I've had that experience several times in my life in very sentimental ways. After getting married, getting to wake up with my wife and have her right there, that was one of those, "Oh, I didn't know this would be so awesome, but it is, and I'm so glad I have it." When my son was old enough to come run and greet me at the door when I got home, that was one of those, "Ooh, I didn't know I was missing this, but this is really good." But the first time I experienced not knowing there was something out there that I wanted until I actually tasted it was a little less sentimental. Because the first time that occurred, it involved cheesecake. That one in particular, actually, that is the chocolate tuxedo cheesecake from Cheesecake Factory. If you're ever looking to get a gift for somebody, chocolate tuxedo cheesecake from the Cheesecake Factory. See, here's what happened. But at the end of college, I was extremely, extremely particular about my diet. One day a week, I would splurge and I would eat pizza and maybe some sweets. And then the rest of those days, I was extremely clean. I barely even ate carbohydrates. In fact, I had to start eating more cereals and bread when I was studying to be a teacher and I started falling asleep in class from the lack of energy when I was student teaching. That's how extreme my diet was. But at the end of college, I'm living in Houston, Texas. I'm dating May, my wife now, and she plans a date for us, and she says, "I want to take you to a restaurant called the Cheesecake Factory." I'm like, "All right, that sounds good." So we go there, we eat, and then she orders cheesecake, and I'm thinking, well, it'd be rude not to have a bite, so I'll have one bite. And I was hooked. I realized, wow, I really like this kind of stuff, too. Now, my solution to every problem we encounter at home, cheesecake. Anything we come up with, cheesecake. It was something so good that I didn't know I wanted until I tasted it, and then it was like, I have to have it. And the gift of Christ we're looking at today can be like that. Because we're looking at the gift of justification. Now, if you're going justification, that's really a churchy word. Isn't there a better word than that? I've been working on this for about a year and a half, and there's really not. There aren't any words in English that really capture this particularly well. Assurance kind of captures it, but not fully. Because see, there's the objective sense of justification, being made right with God, and through faith in Jesus, you are now right with God. But then there's the subjective piece as well, where you actually experience that. The old Puritan Thomas Goodwin gave this example. He said, to imagine a father and son walking down the street. And as they're walking, after a few steps, the father picks the son up, grabs him in a big hug, and kisses him on the cheek. And he says, now, is the son any more the father's son when he's in the hug than when he's walking beside him? No, he's the same son the whole time. But when he's in the embrace of his father, he experiences that sonship. That's justification as well. There's the objective, you are made right with God through faith, but then there is the subjective experience of justification. And what does it feel like to subjectively experience justification? Well, the old English economist Adam Smith described it a little bit like this when he said that all people desire, quote, to be observed, to be attended to, and to be taken notice of. And so that's what it is to experience justification. It's to know that you are observed, that you are attended to, and you're taken notice of. One of the most helpful descriptions for helping me get my mind around this came from a French author named Alain de Botton, who said that we all desire, quote, to feel ourselves the object of concern, that our presence is noted, our name is registered, our views are listened to, our failings are treated with indulgence, and our needs are ministered to. When you experience that, you're experiencing the gift of justification. And it's, again, one of those gifts we don't always recognize our desire for it until you experience it and you go, this is what it is to have freedom in Christ. This is what it is to fully know the love of God. And so we want to look into Mark chapter 9 and let Jesus lead us in to receiving and experiencing that gift of justification. So if you have a Bible, I'd invite you now to open up to Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 33. If you would like to use a Bible but don't have one, there are some in the seat backs in front of you. I'd invite you to open to Mark chapter 9, verse 33. And if you are using a smartphone or if you're using a tablet, whether you're here watching on the video or listening to the podcast, go ahead and open to Mark chapter 9, verse 33. Because as you open there, what you're going to see is this account of Jesus' life starts with his disciples desiring to experience justification. See, in verse 33, it says that they came to Capernaum, the home base Jesus often operated from. And when he was in the house, he asked them, his disciples, what are you discussing? But it says they kept silent, for on the way, they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. Why did they want to be the greatest? How come they wanted to be the most preeminent? Well, we know what the greatest gets. The greatest gets the most honor. The greatest gets the most attention. The greatest gets the most respect. When we are the greatest in whatever peer group we're in, we feel some of the justification we long for. And so they argue about who's the greatest because their desire is to feel these things, is to experience justification. And they go about trying to find it the way that we typically go about trying to find it, by comparing ourselves to others. Isn't that the way we typically get honor? Isn't that the way you typically get respect? Be really good at what you do. Well, what determines if you're really good at what you do? Are you better than the other people doing it? Be really honorable. Well, what determines if you're really honorable? Well, how are you relating to the others in your kind of peer group who you interact with? And so they're going about seeking justification the same way that you and I typically do, by looking to those around us, comparing ourselves, and seeing what our standing is in relation to everyone else. And what we see is that this desire for justification and the way that they're seeking it, just like the way we're seeking it, it leads to tension. Look again at verse 34. They have to keep silent when Jesus asks of them because they were, and it says, arguing, disputing, fighting with one another about who was the greatest. Now, it's not hard to imagine how this may have looked. This account comes shortly after Jesus has taken three of the disciples up onto a mountaintop and they've received a revelation of God. And then they came down and found that the other disciples were unable to help a father in need seeking help for his son. And so can't you imagine they're walking, they're going along, and one of the disciples who went to the mountaintop starts needling the other ones, going, you know, I can't believe you couldn't help that kid. And Jesus said you needed to pray more. You're just not as mature as I am spiritually. You know, that's why Jesus took me up on the mountain and not you. If you want to start going up on the mountain, you're going to need to mature a little bit. And then you can hear Peter in the back going, you're talking about being mature? I was the one who confessed Jesus as Christ. I'm the one who's our spokesperson. If you want to start lecturing others, you need to be as mature as I am, and then you can have that conversation. And you could see how this argument and this tension could spill out of it. And my guess is that all of us here also have experienced tension and struggle as a result of seeking justification from people and not having it the way that we want. Tell me if this sounds familiar. Married couples. The husband comes home from a long day of work. He's tired, he's drained, and so he's just a little bit tuned out as different things are happening at home. And the activities of the day go on, and it comes to late in the evening, and the husband and the wife are talking, and the wife is upset. She's so upset that when the husband asks if everything's okay, she says, it's fine. And he knows he's in trouble. And he doesn't understand why, and he asks her, and she says this to him. She says, I just wish you would pay more attention to me. What's going on? She wants to feel justified. And so she's saying to her husband, I wish you would make me feel important. I wish you would honor me, respect me in a new way. I wish you would make me feel special. She's seeking justification. Well, then let's imagine married couples again. The next day, the husband does much better at this, and it's getting to be late at night, and the married couples are in bed, and the husband suggests that maybe the couple could do what married couples sometimes do in bed. And the wife says, it's really late. We have to get up early. I'm not feeling well. Let's just go to bed. I love you, sweetie. Good night. And the next morning, the husband is grumpy and he's short. And the wife's going, well, it's just sex. Why is this such a big deal? Well, what was the husband seeking? He's seeking to feel honored, respected, important, valuable. He's seeking to feel justified. Now, maybe you're not married at this point in life, but you're thinking about going into work the next day, and as you think about going into work, your stomach knots up because there's this sense that I'm just not performing well enough, and I can't exactly put my finger on it, but I'm worried about what's going to happen to me. What's going on? What's going on is you're looking at your peers around you, and you're seeing what they're doing, and you're going, when I compare myself to them, I'm not worthy of attention. I'm not worthy of this extra respect. I'm not worthy of this honor I desire. And so your stomach is in knots because you desire to experience justification, but it's not happening. And you can see in all of these scenarios how that introduces tension into our different relationships, whether it's with close family, friends, the workplace, wherever. This desire to find justification from one another brings tension into our lives, just like it's bringing tension into the lives of the disciples. And so we're told in verse 35, and Jesus sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, and when I read this, my mind goes back to a teacher I worked with in Houston, Texas, rough district in Houston, Texas. This gal was an extremely talented teacher. She was not in a classroom. She worked with the students who was troubled, or the students who were troubled, and she was a very competent, very on-the-ball individual. She was an African-American woman and had a Southern drawl, and when she would come and get these students who she needed to talk to, she would tap them on the shoulder and she'd say, you and I need to have a come-to-Jesus meeting. And when it says, and he sat down, we're getting an original come-to-Jesus meeting right here. So pay attention to what he says. Because we might expect him to say, "Thou shalt not desirest to be greatest." But he doesn't, does he? Verse 35, he says, "If anyone would be first," that word can be translated chief or principal. If anyone would be first or chief, he must be last of all and a servant of all. Catch what's happening here. Jesus does not rebuke the disciples for desiring to experience justification. He doesn't say that's wrong. In fact, he says you're on the right track. If that's something you want to experience, though, you're looking in the wrong place. He says, here's how you're going to actually experience it. You're going to be last, and you're going to be servant of all. Well, servant of all, what does that look like? Well, instead of seeking to gain honor for ourselves, it looks like trying to honor others. Instead of trying to get respect for ourselves, it looks like trying to gain respect for others. And instead of trying to see ourselves succeed, it looks like trying to help others succeed. When I first started here at Bethany, one of the things we were doing was taking the staff out for a lunch. We were celebrating some milestone in the life of our team. And so I asked one of the people on staff, "Hey, can you call around and try to find some restaurants that would maybe give us a discount if we brought a decent-sized group in?" And this individual gave me probably the sweetest, gentlest rebuke I've ever received in my life. They said, "You know, I'd be happy to do that. But often in planning these things, what I like to try to do is look and ask, how can we be a blessing to whatever place we go to? Instead of how can they cut us a deal and be a blessing to us? So I'd be happy to call around if you would like me to. Or are you okay if we try to find a place where we can go be a blessing?" Well, what do you answer to that? I said, "Yeah, we're going to do the second one. Find a place and let me know where we're going." And so we went there. And then on top of that, this individual pulled me aside, said, "I'd like to cover the tip." They may have covered the whole meal. I actually don't remember at this point, but they at least covered the tip and then left a very generous tip on top of the meal. And that person got what this is talking about, what it means to be last of all and a servant of all. I'm not going to look to honor us. I'm not going to look for our respect. I'm not going to look for how we can get ahead. I'm going to look for how those around me can do it, those I interact with can do it. I'm going to be a servant of all. And Jesus says, as you do that, then you will be first. Then you will experience justification. But we need to ask then how that works, because we could just stop it here and say, yep, go out, serve people, be last of all. Many of us have heard that before, and many of us know that there's a challenge to that. You can do that for a while, but you start to burn out, you start to feel empty, and you feel you have nothing left to give. So how exactly does it work that if you go out and you're last of all and a servant of all, that you then experience justification? Well, here's how we know it doesn't work. Jesus is not saying that as you go out and you serve people, that's really the way to get people to honor you and respect you and pay attention to you. And we know that's not what he's saying for two reasons. One, it doesn't work. Serving others, now that can bring you some respect, that can bring you some honor, but it's going to take more out of you than it gives back, and you're going to end up empty. And number two, if you go out and you serve and honor others just so you get honor and respect, you're not serving and honoring others. You're just using them for your own ends. You're like the little kid who comes up to a parent and gives them a hug and says, "I love you, now can I have the candy?" And so Jesus isn't saying that, oh, well, service is actually the way to get people to pay attention to you and honor you. He's also not saying that service is the way to earn this reward from God, that you do enough of being a servant and then God is going to reward you. We know that's the case because in the New Testament book of Romans, we're told this. We're told that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And so we're told that the justification, the experience of justification from God, it's not going to be something you earn, it's going to be something you experience. And so Jesus isn't saying, if you do enough of this, then God will be pleased with you, and then you can experience justification. And he's also not saying justification is something you're going to find as you serve others and then look inside yourself and accept and love yourself. That's a very popular message today. And we can understand why, because it's a very liberating message. Because if experiencing justification, experiencing being valuable and worthy, is really just about learning to accept yourself, then you're not controlled by what other people think of you. That's very, very liberating. The place we run into problems with it is that when we accept ourselves and no one else does, we still feel that and it still impacts us. If you want an example, pay attention to movies that come out. Many movies have this as a message, that you just need to learn to accept yourself. The Duff, Moana, How to Train Your Dragon, the new romantic comedy with Rebel Wilson, Isn't It Romantic? All of these have that same message. And the main character learns to accept themselves and love themselves. But then what happens in every single one? All of the important people in their life look at them and go, yeah, that person is worthy, that person is valuable, that person is great. And they experience justification, not just as they accept themselves, but as everybody else is accepting them as well. And so we can't just look inside ourselves and accept ourselves and find that justification. In fact, De Botton, the French author we met, he said that if all of society tomorrow conspired against you and decided that when you woke up, nobody would talk to you, nobody would look at you, nobody would hold doors for you, nobody would acknowledge you existed, they would all treat you like you weren't there, he said we would gladly take physical torture than take a day of being treated like we didn't exist. Because we can't just look inside ourselves and find justification inside ourselves. We can't earn it from God. We can't just serve others to get it. We can't find it in ourselves. So what is Jesus saying happens when we be last of all and servant of all? Here's what happens. When you commit to being last of all and servant of all, of honoring others instead of seeking honor from them and respecting others instead of seeking respect from them, then you have to stop looking to other people for your worth and your value and your justification. And when you can't find it in other people, that drives you to go to your knees and say, Lord, I'm desperate for this. I need this. I can't find it in others. I need it from you. And as you pray that, Jesus in turn answers and says, you're looking for this from me. Look no further than the cross to see how justified you are. See, right before this passage that we're reading, we get Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 32. Here's what they say. Jesus and the disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. Understand what that means for you experiencing justification from God. You want to feel like you are worthy. God the Son, creator of the universe, came and was whipped and beaten and crucified like a guilty criminal, suffered under the wrath of God like one unworthy of his love, so that apart from anything you would do through faith, you can be treated as one utterly worthy of God's love and affection. You want your voice to be heard, to know that people hear you. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane cried out, Father, take this cup from me. And God ignored his prayer. Jesus called out and his prayer fell on deaf ears so that you, through no merit of your own, could call out and have your voice heard in the very throne room of heaven. You seek value, if you seek any of the things that Adam Smith and De Botton talked about to be observed, God the Father turned his face away from God the Son on the cross so that through no merit of your own, God's face could smile upon you. To be attended to, Christ was abandoned to his sufferings on the cross so that simply through faith, God would attend to you in all of your sufferings and all of your delights. On the cross, Christ supplies all of the justification you could want, all of the promise that you are attended to, that you are noticed, that you're the object of concern. And you don't have to earn any of it. You simply receive it through faith. And so he says, if you want to be first, you must be last of all and servant of all, because as you stop seeking it from people, you start seeking justification from God, and then you start finding the justification God has made available for you in Jesus through faith. Now, key for taking hold of that, you have to actually believe in Jesus. You have to trust in him. You have to believe that he is indeed God the Son, come in human flesh, who has died for you to reconcile you to the Father. Because if you don't believe that, there's no hope of justification in that, because you won't trust it. And it may be that you're here today and you resonate with this. You go, I do desire to know that I'm worthy, to know that I'm accepted, to know that I'm observed. Place your faith in Christ. Turn from trying to find that in your accomplishments. Turn from trying to find it in your character and your merits. And ask God, say, God, give me this experience of justification. Make me justified before you, that I can delight in it. And you will see God put it out there for you to receive through faith. If you've never done that, I'm going to invite you to do that today. When we pray at the end of our time in God's word, pray to God, call out to God, ask him to receive that justification. Trust in Jesus Christ. And find that you receive something you maybe never even knew you were craving in the first place. Maybe you already believe that, but you're going, but how do I take hold of that? Because I don't feel that. I don't experience it. What you experience is imposter syndrome. What you experience is FOMO, fear of missing out, if you're not familiar with it. What you experience is great doubt that you have worth and that you are taken notice of. What you need to do is take hold of the justification God offers through faith. See, what I've found is I often have to have this conversation with myself. I will find myself sliding towards discouragement, of feeling that I'm a failure, that I'm falling short of what I should do by others, that I'm a disgrace, that I feel shame. And when that happens, I have to catch myself and I go, what am I looking at right now? Every time I'm looking at myself, my achievements, my character, and my merits. And I'm saying my opinion is based on those. I'm not worthy of being taken notice of. I'm not worthy of being respected. I'm not worthy of being honored. And then I ask, what does God say is true of me because I am Christ, in Christ through faith? It's that I'm noticed, I'm honored, I'm respected, I'm cared for, my prayers are heard. And then I ask myself this question, and it may be that you need to ask yourself this question to take hold of God's justification through faith. I say, all right, at this juncture, what am I going to trust? My opinions about myself? Or God's promises about me made true through the death of his son on the cross? What am I going to trust? My opinions about myself? Somebody else's opinions? God's promises made true of me by the death of his son on the cross. It may be to take hold of this through faith, you need to ask that question. What are you going to trust? Your opinions about yourself? Or the promises of God purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross? See, Jesus wants you and me and us as a community to be first, to experience justification. It comes by being last of all and servant of all, not seeking that from man, seeking it from God, and receiving it through faith. And then notice what happens as you do. Verse 36, it says, and he took a child and put him in the midst of them. Now, children at this time were the lowest rung of people in society. So if you think today of somebody in our society who has no voice, no influence, no power, that's who Jesus is talking about with a child. It says, he took a child and he said to them, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Receives would mean to welcome somebody in, to show hospitality, and to honor them as you brought them in. Typically, what you would do in this day and time is you would receive and honor people who could in turn receive and honor you. That way, their honor went up and your honor went up. But you didn't receive and honor somebody who couldn't honor you in return. That might bring your honor down. But that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. He's applying what he's just said. This is how you seek the honor and respect and to take notice of others, and instead of having that happen for you. You receive one who has no standing. And as you do so, you actually receive me. And as you receive me, you receive not just me, but the one who sent me. See, what Christ is saying is, as you receive that justification from God, you now don't need to seek it from other people, and so you're free to serve them. That wife who wants more attention from her husband, she doesn't have to try to pull it out of her husband anymore because she is so filled with it by God that instead of saying, I want you to pay more attention to me, she can go, I'm now going to pay more attention to you. That husband who's seeking it through intimacy with his wife, when he's filled by God, no longer has to say, I'm now seeking it from you in this way. He can say, I'm now looking to honor you and to build you up even through physical intimacy in this way. That knot in your stomach can untie because you're no longer going, I'm going into work, and how am I going to make sure people notice me so that I don't get fired and I don't lose my job? You can say, I am going to go and help others be noticed and help others be cared for because I know that I am noticed and in the hands of a loving God. That's what Jesus is saying. When you're filled up, you can give honor and respect and notice out. And as you do so, it brings joy into the delight to the God who gave you the experience of justification in the first place. Maybe some of you remember this from elementary school, the water cycle. Did any of you study that growing up? Remember this even vaguely? It's just me. In the water cycle, what happens, rain pours from heaven, and then it gathers on the ground, and eventually it flows into different bodies of water, and then the bodies of water, they evaporate, and the water returns to the sky where it came from as it repeats. And what Jesus is showing here is not a water cycle, but a justification cycle, where you receive that justification from God through faith. Then you serve others. And as you serve others, you bring joy and delight to the God who gave you that justification in the very first place. And so his invitation to you in this is to believe. Believe that Jesus has come and has died for you to justify you. Take hold of it through faith. Trust not in your opinions or the opinions of humans, but trust in the promises of God purchased with the blood of Christ. And experiencing that justification, go out this very week, serve someone who doesn't deserve it, who hasn't earned it, but do it because you're offering it as a service to God out of your love and joy for the gift that he has given you in Jesus Christ. And as our worship team comes up, I'm going to invite you to talk to God about how to respond to that. It may be that this was a lot to take in, and more than anything, you have questions right now. What I'd invite you to do is to simply write those questions down and through this week, talk to God about them. It may be that you, today or in days past, you experienced justification from God. Thank him for that, for the gift that it is. It may be that you recognize that you have been seeking justification in people, and you see how that has brought tension and turmoil into your life. Confess that to Jesus and ask for forgiveness. And above all, ask God to let you experience justification so you can serve others. Let us go now into a time of prayer, speaking to the Lord as you need to about this gift that he offers through Christ.